The following is a recorded presentation brought to you as a public service by the Saintrim Central School District. The comments made during this board meeting do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of WSHR and its staff. If you have any questions or comments about this meeting, please call the Saintrim District Office at 631-471-1300, or you may write directly to the District Superintendent at 245 Union Avenue, Holbrook, New York, 11741. As a reminder, all members of the Saintrim community are encouraged to attend school board meetings whenever possible. The location and times of these meetings are posted on the Saintrim calendar, or you can go directly to the Saintrim website at www.saintrim.edu.
Also, one of the community members informed the board that he will be videotaping the meeting. So everybody knows that videotaping is permitted at public sessions, that the Board of Education reserves the right to have that videotape conducted in a way which does not disturb or interfere with the meeting. So if any board member or any member of the community has any problems, just let me know and we'll make the adjustments. With that, do you have any visitors, Carol?
Negative.
Okay. To begin the meeting, we'll just introduce who's here so the people out on the radio, when they listen to it, will know who's here. Mr. Stile from the board, Mr. Aronel from the board, Mrs. Slinkowski, Mr. Teneri, Mr. Sayers, Mr. Falco, Mr. Boddy, Mr. Palmera, myself, Jim Kiernan. From the administration, Superintendent Dr. Murphy, Mr. Singer, Mr. Sachs, Ms. Garash, Ms. Grenzik, Mr. Kopp, and our attorney, Mr. Clayton. I get everybody? Okay, good. District Clerk Carol Edelberg. We have one action item, the approval of the 2006-2007 school calendar. Do I have a motion on this, please? Mr. Aronow, a second?
Second,
Ms. Lankowski. Anybody have any questions? Mr. Palmera.
Was this something, Charlie, that was discussed with all the units and everything? Do we usually do that, you know, confer with the staff on this?
We sent it over to the SCTA, and they really have the input that we really need to negotiate things with them. As long as we have a standard calendar, there really isn't a problem, but if we do anything that's beyond really the contractual work year.
Okay, so this is good by this point?
Yeah, we spoke to Bob, and you know, he had some things, he gave some input, we made some changes, he had some other input that he wanted to do, and we just couldn't do what he wanted to do.
All right, thank you.
Okay, any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried unanimous. You can have that back. All right, I'm going to be turning this meeting over to Dr. Murphy for the first budget presentation to the board and the community. Just so you know how we're going to do it, and if we stay kind of on task, we'll probably get through these meetings quicker and more efficiently. This meeting we will be talking about where are we, what's included in this, what are the restorations, what are the reductions, the increases to deal with, and the tax implications. So if we stay focused on those issues just for this meeting, we have a very good start. Dr. Murphy? Thank you. I know this is a heck of a time to ask, Charlie. Are we sure that wireless was connected to our taping capability for the radio? Otherwise, it's going to have, that whole thing will be gone. We don't know, do we?
I don't know what's good for the radio, but more importantly, right, this community has it, and our discussion will all over the radio. The board really is working for this whole process right now. We did our part, we'll continue to do the homework for you, and you really have to make the key decisions to get this. And really, why are we talking about budget so much, and I said this last night, budget is the engine that drives the educational program. And without the budget, there's no program. So we've got to make these key decisions to keep that engine running. And remember, we cannot continue to run on contingency budget to contingency budget to contingency. We need momentum of a past budget. How are we doing? These people right here are going to be the leaders in that direction. We'll just be there to support the entire process.
Was this document handed out, the meeting dates and the agenda items for each? They have all that? That's good. Okay. And for the board as well, because there's different items that I know different board members are very concerned with that they want to discuss. So we should hold that for the night marked, unless you want to change it to a particular night. But as Dr. Murphy said, maybe Bruce, you could go over at least process on the end notes so any board member that's not familiar or any community member that's not familiar with how to use the end notes versus the budget, we could just knock some time out of that.
Thanks, Jim. Just briefly, what we found in the past that the board knows the first 34 pages is the expenditure budget. There are asterisks in the beginning first column that give a little further definition in the behind the budget. It's called endnotes. The last page, page 35, is actually the revenue budget. It's a one sheet document. And as we did in the past, we would update the board with a revenue status report. So whatever the board direction was from that evening, we'll take our notes the very next day. The board would get the information on a single spreadsheet, the budget implication, the tax implication, and where the tax rate is on a day-to-day basis. So the board would be able just to maintain this first draft, so we wouldn't have to give a 35-page document after every meeting. We'll just hand out that one-page spreadsheet. That's how we envision to proceed.
Are there any questions from the board on the document itself? Anybody have any problems or any questions on how the budget was constructed? Mike?
First of all, I'd like to say thank you to the administration and the teachers and department chairs for coming up with a budget. I remember last year being president and getting a 27% increased budget. I said, wow, this is going to be a fun year. And so this at least is something that we can work with. I think what's important, though, and for everybody to understand, that this is a work in progress. And, living in the community, you run into people all the time, and they always ask the questions, how much are you going to want this year, and this and that, and what about this, and what about that? And I always tell them, I say, we just received this Friday, and it really is, for us, it's a work in progress. We have to look at this. If the board takes the same direction it did last year, the thing that's important is the parity between the education in our secondary buildings and in all of our middle schools and our elementary schools, and I think we're going to stay with that. Looking at everything else is, things have to be done. It's like your home, with capital projects. Things go wrong and you can't help it and you got to fix it. I think it's a great job. It's a great start. Just a couple of quick things. I know, what is the percentage on the budget for the major increases? We had 8% in health and tax anticipation notes and the TRS. What kind of an impact was that over the whole budget? Is this an appropriate question to ask now? Because if it's not, I'll.
We'll just need a few minutes to figure that out. On those five big categories.
Yeah.
The total budget was 6.29%, but on those five, we'll figure it out. Take us 2 minutes.
Okay. And we're using fund balance, and I like the way that's worked out this year. Now, what is our total fund balance? And we're using $3.5 million of it. So
we're actually appropriating $6 million.
$6 million.
Correct.
And what was the total amount for the fund balance that we have that we can use $6 million? It was 14 is the fund balance right now. What's the total amount in the fund balance before we take this money out?
That's our total reserves and liabilities.
That's the total reserves, which
that's
was
right.
What, about 14?
That's correct.
Okay. Good. And everything else, I have to tell you, this is a sigh of relief when I looked at this budget. And, at least we're starting off with something that's realistic. And, hopefully we'll be able to put something out there that the community will support. So thanks again to all of you for all your hard work and giving us something that, that we can work with. So thank you.
I'd also like to just point out for a second that our Budget Advisory Committee has been meeting, and they're off and running, and they're asking administration a million questions, which is good. And they're getting ready to make some suggestions to the board. And I notice a lot of the members of that committee are here. I wonder if you gentlemen and ladies, if you're out there, just stand up for a second so these people could see who you are. Would you do that for me? Thank you. So that's very nice of you guys, you know, to do what you're doing. It's going to be a big help. Mr. Falco?
Yes. Again, good job, Dr. Murphy. I think it was a well presentation. But not to put a damper and on the process, but there's one concern I have, and I discussed it with you. We've got a tentative breakdown of class sizes that you had sent us. And again, when I spoke to you, you had said this is a tentative because we don't have the figures yet in place for next year. Is that correct?
That's correct. Those numbers that are in the budget, in this budget book right now, the ranges at the secondary level are based on this year's kids who are presently in school. It's not based on next year. We'll have those runs done in the next 2 weeks, and by March, I believe March 9th, we wanted to really speak about the staffing, and we'll have a better idea of the staffing at the March 9th meeting.
Well, okay, that's fine. And again, my concern was when I saw that, I noticed quite a bit of the class sizes were above 30, in some cases 30 to 34 per class. So that was, you know, and looking at that, I didn't think it was acceptable. But again, I'll have to wait for the final run, and maybe at that discussion we could find out where those numbers are going to finally be.
If you remember, we also did a number of changes, and I mentioned the changes in the secondary program to the public, that we really streamlined one of the areas and changed the program. So we even think we can balance out the class sizes a little bit better than we have in the future, and some of the crazy ranges that we do have, it won't be skewed left or right. It will be a bit more appropriate and spread out across the board. And that's the goal, and one of the goals that was during the secondary curriculum meeting.
Thank you, Dr.
Any other board members have questions? Ms. Sunkowski?
I just think we should emphasize that Tony's concern is within the secondary. It's not affecting the elementaries. The elementary class sizes are small.
Jim?
I'll say smaller. I'm sorry.
Mr.
Smaller.
Singer?
Mike from RX. The five big ticket items that Charlie spoke about before was 3.9% out of the 6.29%. So almost 4% out of the 6% is just those five items.
These are items that we have no control over. These are, okay, thank you.
Any other members? This is our, you know, our kickoff, so, you know, we don't have anything on the agenda on any distinct line, but is there any direction? Is there anything that you want to send the administration back with now to work on any further for future meetings? Anybody have any particular concerns or questions? Mr. Falco?
As a thought, can the board decide and administration decides which items that we're going to be discussing? Is there an agenda as to budget items?
Right here.
Okay. All right, we got it tonight?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I sent this last week. We can change anything.
No, my point was is that the advisory council, I don't have that. Do I have that? Okay. So the advisory council can get that and work maybe in conjunction with us so they can be on the same page. That is there then. There it is. Okay. I don't know if they have this or not, but then good.
You guys have this, right? Okay. And I think what Mr. Falco said is really a good idea. If you guys may want to stay to the same agenda, so we're working together on this.
Jim, we actually put in the on one of the budget meetings, it was a tentative, I said possible community feedback, and when I said that for that March 9th meeting, it was really speaking about our community budget meeting committee, that if they wanted to give some feedback and their some thoughts, that would be the meeting that we'd like for them to share some thoughts. But again, I know that they're just getting their feet wet this year, and they've had three meetings up to this point in about 3 weeks. Oh.
Mr. Falco, go ahead.
Sorry, but the other thing is, Dr. Murphy, you had stated that looking at this agenda for the budget meetings, March 30th, you have down here adoption by the board. Is that the final date that we have to adopt this budget?
I think that's what we have in our calendar. I think
legally is what I'm saying.
That's the final legal date.
All right, and I expressed this concern a couple of months ago regarding the community knowing what the adopted budget is going to be, and then the board unable to make any changes. Because, and again, I'll say this, and I've said it numerous times, if we had known last year what the reaction was going to be to that budget number, we certainly would have, I think, had made some changes prior to the official adoption. So, and I know you had talked about town meetings. I know you had talked about other meetings. Is that still in the process?
Well, one, we do have the town meeting, and I left the handouts outside, and I think the first town meeting, someone helped me out there in the audience, it's March 6th. So we'll meet on March 6th at the Sachem Public Library downstairs. We reserve the room. So if you want to sit around, have a cup of coffee and talk budget, we're there. And we also, what happened last year is prior to the adoption, we didn't really have a public hearing where we could have people speak about it. And really March 22nd, we want to give people the last opportunity saying, hey, this is where we are. Last chance. Last year it happened on the date that we were adopting it. And boy, we heard it then. Ouch.
Thank you. Mr. Sayers?
Yeah, just to follow up with Mr. Falco's questions with regard to class size, is it possible to get an idea of which particular sections are at the above the board guidelines levels prior to the 9th, or get an idea, and how many sections are we actually looking at where we have over our adopted guidelines?
Mona Hecht is here from, she's our administrator for guidance, and this is really her expert area. So, Mona, if you could share some of, why don't you come up and, don't use that cordless one, it doesn't work so well.
We've collected all the numbers for next year's programming, so actually by tomorrow, that was the deadline date for counselors to have seen all students. We've entered them, and probably by the February break, we should have the final numbers, and we're meeting next week, I guess, Paul, with the principals, secondary principals.
Yeah, the principals are all getting together on the 15th to really work on that document.
Right. So we should have it by the break.
Okay, because I also see, while you see some numbers a little bit on the high average, there's also, it looks like, that you have some class ranges that are actually maybe a little bit low, too, other than the collaborative and developmental classes. So we'll get a better handle of where we're going to be with class size.
Right. The document you have there is the current year's course averages and ranges.
Yeah.
And the document we'll have by the break is our projections for next year. And the changes that Dr. Murphy spoke about should make some changes in terms of the ranges and the average sizes.
Thank you.
Mr. Falco?
Mr. Sayers made a good point, and I don't know if he got an answer. Will we be able to get those classes that are above the board direction on specifically marked out as to which ones are above the what the board recommended?
For next year. We will have the projected enrollment numbers and then the number of sections. So we should be within those guidelines. We wouldn't be going over
that.
Oh, I
see. Okay, very good. Thank you.
Any other board member? Mr. Stile?
I like the idea that we're asking the public to react to what we've been working on. The only thing that, and I don't know how you fix it if it can be fixed, because we're discussing the whole budget right till the end anyway before it's approved. But it seems that preliminary public hearing or discussion, last opportunity for input or changes, occurs on the 22nd of March. And then we're adopting the budget on the 30th. There's no time in there to consider what maybe the public has said or offered to discuss to see whether we want to do any changes. I don't know. Is it a crazy possibility, since each one of these topics takes a special discussion, that at the end, the people that are there can react to that discussion and say, listen, you may have said yes on the transportation, blah, 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 blah. However, could you consider this or that? Then it's ongoing. If people have to hold it until March 22nd, then we have no time as a board. We could say thank you very much for telling us, but we're going to keep the same budget because we don't have time to print up something new by the 30th. So I don't know how that can be changed. I would like to see, as you leave a topic, let's say meeting number two on the academic programs and special education, as you leave that, you leave it with having community input and perhaps then opening the next meeting that, listen, we heard this and this and this, we'd like to discuss whether there should be a change in the special ed or not. Is that a possibility, or is that a good way to go? Rather than waiting till the end and then everybody thunders in and we're not a part of the process. No, I mean, you know, people do come at the end and think that's when you can change it. By then, it's almost in stone.
I'd say just leave the visitor section at toward the end and give everyone the opportunity to give their input in after each meeting. I think that would be a great idea, Ralph. We are board goal, open communication. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, how's the board with that? It's probably a good way to go, is to keep the visitor section at the end of each discussion topic, then people that are there for that reason could, yeah.
I think it's a good idea, but is it, and I probably will be able to do it, but how that particular session is going to affect the final number? Because let's face it, if we just discuss one thing and adding it, people are not going to know what the final percentage is going to be. So as we get finished with that particular section, and maybe Bruce can now come back to us with, well, instead of 487, it's 450 or 460, right?
Tony, they think what Bruce said, and that's what we did last year, that's exactly what he's going to do.
Good.
In other words, he's going to, as soon as a change is made, one way or the other, he's going to come back and tell us where we're at.
Doesn't lock us in. I mean, that doesn't mean it's going to be in stone. We still can make, you know, changes after that, but that's basically where we're going to be at that point.
Mr. Sayers.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. The only problem that I could see is that I think the community has to understand that I don't think we're going to be able to give them their answers at the end of the meeting that night, because that could then turn into another 2 or 3 hour discussion. So I think that at the end of the evening, during the visitor section, their concerns can be addressed, their questions can be asked, but I think the community has to realize that I don't think you can turn around and give a lot of the answers right off the bat, and they might have to wait when administration gets the time to then answer the questions, or we then as a board can discuss those items again, and then perhaps the next meeting go further and pick up where we left off, because, you know, there's a lot of good questions out there that I'm sure the community is going to want to ask. And after a 2 or 3 hour budget presentation, and if we have 6, 7, or 8 people want to ask those questions, we could be here another 2 hours. So I think we have to set up some type of procedure where those questions can get answered, you know, if not the next day, but before the next meeting.
Mr. Dial.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. However, let's say you're talking about, well, they mentioned in equipment that we needed plows and so forth, okay? Suppose we talk about that discussion, and we're saying maybe you need one plow. That's it. You're going to need one plow, and all of a sudden you start hearing from out here 2 or 3 plows or whatever you want to hear. Is it a possibility then, like Rich says, not getting into a detailed discussion, but let's say have the business office, we open the next meeting, say, listen, there was a major thrust towards 3 snowplows. If you added that, it's going to be another 0.3%. You know, then you can write that down on your notes to say, whoa. And, you know, you can or cannot put it in, and you don't have to make that decision right then and there. But we have instant feedback from business office on how much it would affect us, because rather than maybe increase that 0.3%, I might want to increase academics 0.3%, you know. But I mean, I think hearing it when it's fresh in the mind of the community and not waiting till 8 weeks and hearing it, then I don't know, it's more instant in my mind. But you're right, we don't have to get into a tremendous discussion about it.
Mr. Palmer?
I'd like to see this get revised a little bit then, and just put at the end of each of these, put public input at visitor section or something like that, so folks know they can speak to the issues. Secondly, what are our plans for making sure that these go home with all of our kids, to the parents, and also to all the folks in the community, who may not have children in school? Because if the community is going to support this and pay for it, they should all know what's out there. And also, could we also put when we're going to hear from these good folks on the budget committee? When will they be getting back? Maybe we can include that. The question is, I see where it says possible community feedback. So this is the only time we're going to hear from them, from that committee, or?
You know, unless anybody has a problem with it. I think any time that they feel that they have something to say
to
the board,
good. I mean,
they
want
to give them carte blanche.
If they're taken the time to be on this committee, then they should be able to step up and say what they want when they want. But I'd like to see us put that and get some kind of a process in place so that everyone in the community gets to see this, see the times, the dates, you know, and where these meetings are.
I don't know how we would do that.
I don't know either.
Because of the time basis to get a postcard out. Postcard out with something like that's going to run about $4,000. We costed it out for the future meetings after the 30th.
Well, we could post it, maybe post it on the website, put it on the radio station.
That's easy. We can do that.
Maybe send some flyers home. I really don't know the right process. I mean, we have a firm that we pay to get
the
information out.
The postcards would be the best way, but it's a little late. They'll be in the newsletter. The community after budget meetings will be in all the presentations. The 16 presentations will be in the third newsletter. But this is, we just don't have the time frame right now to get it out. The time it's getting out, three of the meetings will be over.
Mr. Falco?
This is again up to you, that after the discussion, the community will raise questions or whatever they want to have questions answered. It'll go back to administration, get the answers, and the board. And maybe we can allot 10 or 15 minutes or 20 minutes at the opening of the following meeting to address those particular concerns. So again, in setting up your agenda, maybe that could be a possibility so we can get those answered and put behind us for the next meeting, because I'm sure there will be questions at the end of a meeting, but when are they going to be answered to the community? Maybe, again, your decision when at the beginning of the next meeting or hold it for a couple of meetings, I don't know. But they should
I think we're probably considering that the community's response on a lot of these issues are going to be in a question form. And, you know, I envision that not be the case. I envision the case being that anybody that doesn't want to see something in or out, it's going to be a positional concern. It's going to say, just for the sake of an argument, if the board started to get away from, say, a full kindergarten aid staff, people will come up and they're not going to be asking questions. They're more or less going to be stating their position. And I don't think that's a good idea for this reason, that reason, and the other reason. So I don't really think there's going to be a great deal of time for the administration to deal with questions. It's really going to have more to do with if the board wants to go in that direction or not, and what the cost implications.
And I agree. If it's going to be a position, then that's certainly there. They can express that position. But there may be questions. And I just think we need time to answer those questions if it is a question. If it's not a question, we can't answer it. But if somebody comes up with an idea in the community and then it puts us to us, I mean, that's that many more people that give us ideas. I certainly wanted time that it be answered. And again, that's your choice as to when.
I would imagine that the nature of the question and the time element for the administration to get it will have to do it as the questions come, I think. Okay. Anybody else have any ideas? These are pretty good ideas. So Ralph, from your perspective, the visitor section, as we do it, pretty much covers that, because I mean that's what they do now. They come and they state their piece,
right.
And then if it's a question thing, they get it later on.
Right. They'll be just talking about the topics that are on the agenda.
Correct.
And
only
at
the end instead of in the beginning.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah, good. Anybody else have anything with this? I think we're off to a pretty good start. You know, good. Dr. Murphy?
Is this going to be the end of the meeting?
Why, you have a problem?
No, I don't have a problem. I'm just a little disappointed in my presentation over here, so I just want to go over this one more time. You know, you're self-reflecting and going, I didn't get my point across, so I just want to make it one more time with this appropriated fund balance. Bruce, you got to come in and help me out since I'm new to this process. Again, last year on that contingent, we had two budgets. We had the proposed budget that went down, then the contingent budget. On that proposed budget, we had $3 million to pay down the tax levy. Budget went down. We decided, hey, we got to protect the district of the district's future on the contingent budget. So we took that $3 million and put it in this unappropriated, unreserved fund balance. Right now, we have over $5 million in that unappropriated, unreserved fund balance. We're going to take out 3.5 to pay down the taxes on this proposed budget. That leaves about $2 million in there. But because of all the good management and the extra state aid that we got in this year, we're going to fill up that unreserved, unappropriate fund balance back up to over $5 million, which is the 2% allowed by state law, so that the following year we can do the same thing, and it goes so on and so on. So just hope that's a little bit better, and I'll feel better driving home tonight.
Okay, any other questions?
What was that thing in the middle again, Charlie?
We have a visitor. Sal, you probably don't have to write it out if you're the only visitor, because I see you over
Janet
there.
Janet Coleman.
Oh, okay.
Just a couple questions to clarify a couple things. Elementary, I think you guys might have a paper that we don't have because we're just looking at last year's numbers, and Deborah said that the sizes are going to be better next year. So is that going back closer to board guidelines, or are you expecting more relief in some of those classes? Like, we have some that are over board guidelines this year. Are you going back lower? Let me just
go through that right now. And this is a good question for the community, and I like this. The elementary class sizes. One of the difficult parts about elementary compared to the high school is high school has economy by scale. And in ninth grade, we might have 12 different sections of ninth grade English. When you're dealing with an elementary school, you can end up with a class of, for this year, based on that contingent budget, of, let's say, 28 at a certain school. Because we don't have all of our fifth grades for, say, all in Winona School or all our fifth grades in Tecumseh, when we have a fifth grade of 28, if we add an extra section to that fifth grade to try to bring it down, we then bring the class levels down to 2021. Then it becomes a question of 2021, boy, that's awful low. That's a nice class size. But is that affordable to the community? So that's the key question you have to ask. 28 could be high, but if we add just one section, because elementaries only have three or four, maybe five sections at the max in a school, by adding that extra teacher, which is going to cost you $65,000+, you're then going down to 2021. But then the question is, 2021, if we did that for every class, is that affordable for this community? And those are the hard questions. We're going to look at all these class sizes and everything and try to balance them out. If the budget passes, Janet, that's the big difference between last year and this year. When that budget failed last year, we had to rip out $12 million out of the budget. So when the class sizes started to creep up during the summer, Jim Ruck or Charlie Murphy would not recommend to the board, with the unknown of a whole year of a septic field out at Samoset, a leaky roof at Winona, and all the emergencies that could happen, the heating costs, all those things, are we going to end up starting to put down class sizes then to 2021 with the unknown of that contingent budget? You heard that how we did it this year with the direction we gave Bruce and Ron and to work in that business, we created a lot of black. But with that unknown last year, we didn't want to put back anything because we were afraid we wouldn't make it to the end of the year. Now we know we're okay. But now the question will be later, is it affordable?
Well, that's
2021 to 28. So then you have to weigh the difference. Nice class size, very nice. 2021 in any school district in the nation, we'd be proud to have that. 28 at fifth grade. But if you look at the average of our class sizes across the board, K through 2, 23 average across the board. Is there a skew in some places? Sometimes there's 20, 25 in a K through 3. Sometimes there's a 20, depending upon how those sections fall out. Grades 3, 4, and 5, the average class size is between 25, 26, it's about 26. I'll say comfortably 26 in the school. Average over a school district, 26, that's appropriate for anywhere on Long Island.
Okay. My question was, if the board had adopted this tonight and the community said yes, would these class sizes that you're projecting for elementary school be hugging those guidelines or back to some of those small ones that people are used to?
We're hugging the guidelines.
That's what I want to know about this budget. Okay.
But what you can do if the budget passes and you start to have class sizes creep up during the summer, a board and administration is going to feel a lot more comfortable when they have a past budget to start saying, you know what, we can add a section here to try to help reduce these.
Right.
But if
a
contingent budget, you're looking about,
we're going back to the low numbers that we had and just need to, you know, understand that. That's all.
Again, the long vision is right. We're going to try to bring down class sizes, but it's a long-term vision.
Okay.
You saw the priorities we had.
Right.
We'll bring back those and we'll work on class sizes pretty soon.
Okay. The math specialists, you weren't putting those back in the elementary, that was staying at the half that it is now?
We looked through that from the zero-based decision. In fact, in some cases, we're more than appropriate with our math staff throughout the district. We were fat last year.
Okay, just want to check. You mentioned ninth grade sports. You didn't mention seventh and eighth. And I know a lot of people, especially with the indoor sports, having a hard time with a lot of the kids getting cut. So I didn't know if the board might address that at some point.
We're having an athletic presentation in a couple weeks, but
okay.
Again,
it's another sore point that you didn't bring up.
Well, it's a 3-year vision. Ken Marble will talk about that in athletics. I think it's the next presentation about what you're going to do. But again, you have to start to bring these things back slowly. As
right.
I said before, I could bring you something and give this board something that'll really knock everyone's socks off. But again, affordability, and is it going to be accepted? Last year, 14,000 people said no.
I know.
2,000 said yes. This community is still reeling and healing, and we've got to be not only put together a good program, and I'm proud of the program we're going to have next year if this budget passes as is, but we also have to be cost-effective and taxpayer-sensitive because these people deserve it.
Okay, next is taxes, and that might be for Bruce. You keep saying 4.87, and then you look on the other chart where it breaks it down by town, and it's 5.95, 6.23, 5.67, so everybody's skirmishing what the number. If I live in, say, Brookhaven, are my taxes going up 4.87 or 5.95? My taxes.
The weighted average is 4.87. Are you looking at what's it going to cost me?
Basically, yeah, the chart here where it has each town.
Okay. And the top section is just a division of the tax rates itself. The bottom one is the actual taxes. So it's just for people who are interested of their tax rates, but that doesn't mean what person's paying out of their pocket. It's your actual taxes, which is on the bottom half of that section, which is the 4.87. So if you look at the top half of the section, those are tax rate numbers.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I live in Brookhaven. So what's the 5.95?
The extreme right, that's the 7-year average column?
Proposed 06-07.
So if you go
what
to the
page
bottom,
is it? Why don't you just look at the page?
It's on the appendices, right?
Yeah. I'm looking at L1. Is that L1? I'm looking at the chart we give out every year.
Yeah, it's in revenue.
It's an 8-year
average.
Yeah. Janet.
L1.
Right. So this is action.
Janet, do me a favor. Show him, please.
It's L1 is the page. I'm sorry. I have my glasses down over my nose. Excuse me.
All right, we got it, Bruce?
Yeah, okay. All what Janet is referring to is on L1.
But now you have to give your answer.
I won. Aye. In the top half of the section, the percentage change in the tax rates is the average of 4.87%. The bottom half of the section, which is the actual taxes that people are paying out of their pocket, less the star, is the 5.95. If you live in Brookhaven, ISIP 6.23. And Smithtown, 5.67. On the extreme right-hand column is the 8-year average, starting from 1998 to 2007.
So my taxes, just saying Brookhaven, with this if passes, right, goes up 5.
That's right. If your home was assessed at
$3,500, okay. Fine.
The tax
that's
rate times your assessment would give you an actual tax of $6,132, less the star savings of $1,033.
Okay, I just wanted to clarify because it was a little confusing and just wanted to make sure. Thank you.
Could, Jim?
Go ahead, Mike.
Could we get the tax calculator up on the website as soon as possible, and build these numbers, and then we can change it as it goes along, and that way folks can look at their assessments. I'm sure everybody got their tax bill. And you can work out exactly what it's going to cost you out of your pocket. That's something we should try to get.
It would only have the adopted tax rate from last year. We wouldn't be able, this information is not adopted yet. It would change.
But could we show the tax calculator with where we are at this point and be very clear about it? Say this is where we are at this particular point, this is what it'll cost you, and then as we go along and make changes, change the number. Is that possible, or is that too confusing?
You know what, why don't you let Bruce give that some thought there, Mike, and if it's possible, we'll do that, so everybody can just plug in numbers as they go.
Hey, Bruce, do you want to explain that to Janet's one more time, because just go through that one more time with what you're saying, because this is different, it seems like a little bit different than I said or what was explained. I just want to make sure that we're not giving out erroneous information.
Okay. When we talk about a tax rate, the weighted tax rate change is on the top half of the section, the three towns listed by tax rates. So the actual tax rate in Brookhaven is 167.08, going to a proposed, as we are now, 175.20. That is 4.86%. That was aware of those averages. That's why when we talk in tax rates, the tax rate average is the 4.87. The actual taxes, if you live in a town of Brookhaven, you would multiply your tax rate times your, on the extreme left-hand column is the $3,500, which would give you the $6,132.10 for actual taxes. Less the star deduction would give you an actual tax, net of star, $5,098. If you compare the $5,000 to the $4,811, that's a 5.95% increase in actual taxes.
Which is the traditional way we explain it to the public,
the top, Bruce? The top half, the tax rate information.
Okay, I just want to be clear that we're not doing anything that's trying to be deceptive from the public.
That's why we always talk about the tax rates.
Tax rate, okay.
That's right. It's the weighted tax rate of the three towns.
Mr. Falco.
Yeah, I'm thinking.
We can,
you know,
both.
Looking at this, and I'm in Brookhaven, I'm going to pay 5.95% increase. And I'm just concerned that we're going to be putting out a 4.87%. And people are going to under the impression that they're going to have an average 4.8% increase. And that's not the case.
Don't we explain that? I think we explain that every time we send them their cards.
Yeah, this happens every year. Absolutely.
Yeah, I could tell you could ask right now in the community. I'll bet you most of them thought they're going to get the average is going to be 4.8%. And it's not going to be that. And this is, and why don't we take the average of 5.95, 6.23, and 5.97? Wouldn't that be the average of what people are going to pay?
So you're asking to do something different this year than we ever did?
Well, I'm asking you that you have 100 people here, and I could bet you, and I'll be guessing, that this is not what they're thinking it is. Do we want to give them information that when they get their tax bill, it's going to be higher, and we're not what we're supposed to be? So, again, we could do it as the board feels, but I think this is misleading going with that number.
All right, maybe I would admit, if you do the actual tax line without the star, it would come out to the 4.86. The 6,132 minus the 5,847 comes to the 4.86. It's because the star amount has a less of a value, so that increases the amount of the actual taxes the person pays. So we would have to explain how star, because you can see it went from 1,035 on 5,800 to 1,033 on 6,100. It's less of a percentage, so your taxes are actually increasing. But the star is outside of our jurisdiction.
Bruce, I understand, you know, what it is, but my concern right now is what they think we're saying is what they're going to get. And
if you take the top number, which is really under the board's control, the 6,132 minus the 5,847, that comes to a 4.86%. This bottom half was shown of because of the star. The way the star is given to us, we have to show it. We wanted to show the community what their actual taxes are. But the star is a given number from Department of Equalization and Taxation. Right, and this is still estimated. The state didn't adopt their budget yet.
So, Bruce, if you look at I-2, and everyone could turn to I-2, since 1978, 1979, we've really been going by the 4.87 number. And if you look at the bottom, that would really be the equivalent of, because I've seen this sheet for the last couple of years that I've been involved.
So that's right. And the numbers of the tax rate change and the prior year net change, including STAR, because they're dividing different numbers, it's never going to come out to the same.
So this would give us a consistent, because STAR only came in how many years ago? So this would
be
a consistent look since 1978 at the true number. So you're talking.
Right. And we have another sheet in the appendices, which really goes back 20 years of taxes that goes on the tax rates.
So you can see historically what 4.87 existed over.
Actually,
over
it's the very next page, okay. I-2.
Yeah, Mr. Falco.
Bruce, when Newsday publishes their taxes in the paper, and it never seemed to match as what we put out. Which number do they put out? Do they put out the 4.87, or do they put out the average of what the community is going to pay?
I think they go off the tax levy. The assessed value of the school district, the way we raise taxes, we actually ask the towns for a tax levy. They divide the tax levy, which is really the function of the budget, less the state aid, that tax levy, which is a separate number from what these numbers are portraying. So that is a third division of how much the tax levy is going up.
Again, this is the first meeting, and I would like to get off on the right track, so again, maybe this needs further discussion, but at first look, and you know, this looks confusing to me, but we can discuss it further.
Yeah, I think certainly this board doesn't want to fool anybody or even give the wrong perception, but I mean, this is something that's been done, obviously, for the past 20 years. I have no problem changing the direction if we want to change the direction, but if there's a problem, Bruce, with perception of what the figure is, just make sure however we put this thing together, it's crystal clear. All right?
Once the state adopts the state budget, we'll have a firm number on the STAR savings, which is going to affect the bottom half of the sheet. The top half of the sheet is really the next several budget meetings.
I understand. I'm just saying that, you know, I've been doing this for 9 years, and this is the same sheet of paper I've seen for 9 years with the same kind of numbers on it. So
correct.
You know, all right. Mr. Nicosia.
I want to applaud Dr. Murphy for his presentation. It was very clear to me that there's been a lot of looking at the expenses that we have in this community for education. And I noticed he didn't compromise anything regarding the classroom teachers and administration, but was well aware that there were places there that could be cut. I want to address myself to the fact that we're living in a situation where we don't know what the state is going to do, as usual, and the five critical things that are mentioned here, the health services, the tax anticipated notes, the teacher's employee retirement system, the transportation and utilities, are all significant things that we can't touch, can't modify, but present a significant part of the increase that makes that tax increase. Am I correct? In other words, those five items, if you added up the total amount of money that we have to lay out, if they weren't laid out that way, for example, I kept records of the past amount of TRS that we were contributing. It seems to me that if we went back to the year 2001, which was not a very long time ago, Sachem School District had to contribute 0.36% to the TRS. The following year was the same amount, and the following year then. All of a sudden, in 2004, when we were in the middle of the reconfiguration program, it jumped to 5.63, and then last year it was 7.97. Now, we can't do anything about it, but that's where the community is hurting. Because if you add up the amount of money how much are we contributing in dollars, Bruce, to the health benefits and to the TRS of last year and this year? How much are we contributing?
For health, it's $22 million.
$22 million. How much of that was an increase? I know it's 22, but how much of that?
Yeah, about $2 million dollar increase.
$2 million. How about this? How about the TRS? How much?
$14 million.
And how much of that was an increase?
$6 million.
$8 million. How much does that translate into a tax increase for us? Just the $8 million for our community.
If we didn't have any offsetting revenue, that alone would have been a 5.3% increase.
Right there is the nemesis. We've had to scrimp and do all kinds of ledger domain with our budget with 5.3, which is what we're eating this year, correct? And last year it was 20%. So there's been some very frugal looking at the budget, and if we're still going to pay Mr. Palfalco? Because you seem to be concerned about whether it's 5.9 or 4.8. That, to me, is something that can be very easily clarified. But nobody addressed the fact that this is a significant increase, which the state has mandated to us because we have to eat it. Now, it seems to me that we are now formed a legislative action committee, and we're meeting with a coalition of other school districts, all beset with the same problem. This particular thing, the TRS and the health benefits. Because if you took those two items off the budget, this year would be a breeze in passing because it would be zero. Am I correct in that, Mr. Singer? Would there be a zero increase if we didn't have the TRS and the health benefiting? Just those increases. Because you said $2 million, $8 million. If you took $8 million off the budget, it would be zero minus. We might even tell the people, you might even get to not worry about all these other vital things for kids, co-curricular and all this other stuff. I commend Dr. Murphy about the fact that he's starting to see that with a little extra look at the budget, we might save another million or two. Am I correct in that, Dr. Murphy?
Anything you say, Mr. Nicosia.
Well, I've been adding the numbers of the people of the 767,000 and 767, you know, that's a lot of money when you start to add it. And transportation, just rearranging and making it a little bit inconvenient at this time for our children. Listen, I walked to school. I never took a bus when I was in school. And I'm not saying that the kids don't deserve a ride, but some of the rides they're taking are sometimes a little bit, they have to take gym to get their exercise. I didn't need that much gym when I was in school. But anyway, I'm not trying to sound like a skinflint here, but I'm thinking that we should be empowering ourselves to get this coalition thing and addressing the people of the state. And since I'm involved with this committee, I want to say this. From a practical standpoint, whether you're talking about Mr. Trunzo or Mr. Engelbright or any one of the esteemed senators and state assemblymen that are in our district representing us, last year, I think they hurt us because 32% of the people in this community voted, of the eligible voters. In the past, I kept a record of that too, was 7%, 8%, 6%, 4%. I mean, those were ridiculous numbers when you think there are 48,000 people that are registered in this community to be eligible to vote in the budget. So I say that we should address ourselves that this year, as a high priority, to let the state help us with the benefits, health benefits, and help us with the fact that we have this TRS thing to deal with. Give us some extra money to sort of defray that cost. And I think that's fair enough, since they have a budget to work with to also, and it's also showing surplus. And I think we also have to encourage our community to start realizing that whether they're voting for a budget or against the budget, whether they're voting for A candidate or B candidate, it is important, it is imperative that the people of this community vote, because when they see 10%, 11%, they tell you, listen, there are other people that we have to cater to and listen to who are turning out 80% and 90% of their pressure vote. And I don't think I have to name who they are, because I'm one of them. I vote all the time. Whether I was a teacher working in Patchogue or a representative here as a community taxpayer, I always voted. But a lot of people don't realize that when they don't vote, they're telling the people in Albany, you don't count, so therefore we're not going to give you any kind of shrift about what you deserve. So I think it's an empowerment factor, and I commend you for the way you presented this budget tonight, because it's doable. And it's very, very within the parameters of what we consider that the community can afford. And I think that if the state comes through with some money, we might be able to present our community with a zero-based budget and still tell the community you're going to get a restoration of all the kind of things you deserve. Because I would like to see the kids get what they deserve, good classroom size, good activities after school, during school. But I also like to see us do some making a little inconvenience for kids maybe to have to walk an extra block or rearrange the budget, the bus routes. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Sal. Ralph.
Mr. Singh, on these charts, just for my head, where it said this year, 206-207 estimated, right, on the bottom. And has that's $175.20. That's for the year, right?
Yeah, that's the tax rate, Ralph. The actual dollars?
Yeah, it says dollars here. On the top, it says rate, and it has, you know, starting with 1978, it says $34.86. On the bottom here, this is $175.20. Would that be my rate of increase if I was a...
No, the dollar increase on I-1 would be the difference between $5,098 to $48.11. That would be your actual dollars out of your pocket. The $175 is a tax rate.
What do you mean?
You multiply the tax rate times your home assessment to get your actual taxes.
I thought the tax rate was 4.86.
That's a tax rate increase. That's a percentage.
Oh. I just divided that by 12. I figured it was $15 a month. That's nothing.
Now, if we include the STAR savings, the actual taxes would be the difference of $5,098 less $48.11.
All right. No, that's okay. Yeah, except with Mr. Nicosia's thing, there was a cartoon in the paper where the kids were riding a bus, and one kid says, "I love school, but I hate the commute." Okay.
Were there any other speakers, Carol?
That was good.
I'll withdraw. Okay. Any other questions from the board? All right. So the next time we sit down will be... Valentine's Day, February 14th. I need a motion to go into exec. We will not be coming back into regular session. Mr. Sayers, Mr. Boddy, all in favor? So carried. Thank you.
The following meeting has been brought to you by the Saintrim Central School District as a public service to our growing community. If you have any questions or comments about the meeting you just heard, you may call the Saintrim District Office at 631-471-1300 during normal school hours. Or you can write to the Superintendent of Schools at 245 Union Avenue, Holbrook, New York, 11741. Information concerning our school district and about our school board can be viewed on our Saintrim website at www.saintrim.edu.